now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. We need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, the Raymond Scott Festival is on this weekend, so we're going to chat to the son of Raymond Scott. His name is Stan Warno, about his amazing father's legacy. Look at the Water Swing Gig Guide, Dear Coop, news on a new film about Sinatra. We'll run our brand new music from the Tiki Torches. This one has just come online on iTunes. It is called Mizzaloo on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
This is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame. A flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. Can I do? I hear your name and I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. You got your spell on me, baby, turning my heart into stone. Bob-a-doo-boop. And every time your lips meet mine, baby, down and down and down I go, round and round and round I go, in a spin, digging that spin I'm in. Black magic woman, I love you so. Black magic woman, I won't let go. Black magic woman, I just can't be alone. No.
Cocktail Nation with Nutty, that old black magic woman. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. Website cocktailnation.net. Now, the Raymond Scott Festival is on this weekend as we speak in Los Angeles. And Stan Warner is the son of Raymond Scott. He joins me on the show. Tell us a little bit about Raymond Scott's upbringing.
He grew up in Brooklyn. It was a very musical family, and his father, in fact, owned a music store and played the violin. And so he was immersed in music from an early age. And he was basically self-taught in the early years, self-taught on the piano by following along on a player piano in his father's music shop. So, you know, he ended up being very closely involved in technology and machines. And one reason for that might well be because he learned on a player piano. So the idea of a machine that produced music was deeply ingrained in him. And then he had this love of technology and machinery from an early age. And he went to a technical high school, but his brother, who was, I think, 8 years older, Mark, was already successful in the music world. And my dad was planning on going to engineering school because he loved engineering, and his brother basically said, "No, you have too much talent to just go become an engineer." And he paid for him to go to the Foreigner of Juilliard, which was, I believe, called the New York Academy of Music at that time. Wow. So he had a very, you know, high-level formal education in music, but always loved jazz. And after graduation, his brother hired him as a house pianist at the in CBS in the early 1930s.
He really was, I suppose, one of the first people, I suppose, getting into the concept of electronic man-made machine music, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that love of technology was always there. And so he loved the recording process, and he saw the recording of music as an essential part of music. You know, most people at that time in the 20s and 30s, it was like, well, there's a performance and you record it. But he realized early on that the recording process itself became an integral part of the music, as it is today, where, yeah, you know, every recording is almost every recording is highly processed in one way or another. And he was a really skilled recording engineer, and I have a tape of him where he's running around the studio testing out different microphones, different placement on the microphone. Then he runs over to the piano and he plays some classical music, and then he narrates what he's doing, and he changes the position of the microphone and he plays some more music. And he even wrote a song, and he wasn't into like love songs, but he wrote a song or a tune, I don't know if there are words actually, called Love Song to a Microphone. So, you know, that's how much he was involved. You know, there are certain overwhelming or overriding trends. So, you know, the technology evolves, as it's going to do when the possibilities are presented. But he was one of the people that certainly, as somebody says in my film, he was always the first. And he really was.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this film. I haven't seen it, but I always find it amazing when siblings make movies or write books about their parents. I mean, we all have particular views of our parents and a particular image of our parents.
My parents got divorced at a relatively early age, and my father wasn't in any way the kind of traditional parent. He was very uncomfortable, really, around his children, and sort of my mom wanted children, and so they had children. And especially as a younger man, he changed as he got older, the way most people do. But he wasn't a father in the traditional way, and so growing up, I would see him only a few times a year, and I wouldn't say they were really close. But after he died, I had to, and this is all in my film, I was chosen to give the kind of eulogy. And when I was doing it, I was kind of realized, overcome with emotion. And I realized I had feelings for him that I had hidden, sublimated for most of my life. And that kind of was the real inspiration to do the film. So the film is a biography of him, of his career, and an exploration of his career and what he did in his music and technology and everything. But it's also an exploration of the father-son relationship, because that was part of my interest and my motivation and my reason for making it. And I also wanted to make a film that just wasn't something, you know, I have a whole filmmaking background, and I'm really interested in story. And I knew that I could make a film about him that would appeal to all the Raymond Scott fans out there, but I wanted to appeal to a wider audience as well. So I wanted to make a film that was also a human story. And that was a lot of what my own personal interest was. So it's a kind of film that has two important themes that kind of go back and forth.
He passed away in, I think it was 1994, wasn't it? As an adult, did you get much of a chance to talk about many of his his inventions and his experience and his music? As an older man that you're able to use in this documentary.
You know, we didn't talk that much about that when I would see him. We didn't talk, you know, there wasn't a lot of reminiscing about his career, even though he certainly did that with other people.
Yeah.
But we would see him and it would be family type events. And we did, you know, we did have a long sort of continuing conversation at one point about the use of music in film, because I was working in my film. My whole professional career was in film, and he had a great interest in that. And of course, his music was used extensively in film. Mm. And so we would talk about that, and we even sort of tossed around the idea of writing a book together. But nothing ever came of that.
Yeah.
And certainly when he had that machine, which I'm sure you know a little bit about it, or maybe more than a little, or the Electronium. When I would visit him on Long Island when he was doing that, you know, we would he would explain it to me, and we would listen to this machine that was there in the background writing music as we were eating or whatever. So that was great. And there were things in his studio during my teens and early 20s. That was when I spent some time out there. But again, we're not talking you know, every week or anything. Yeah.
When I interviewed Erwin Chusett about him, which was the first time that I really discovered Raymond Scott, I was amazed, and I thought to myself, here's a guy who really has not been lauded as the genius that he was, as much as he should be. You know, it seems that a bit of a forgotten name, and I think, you know, Erwin probably helped out the family a bit in that respect, as did your documentary, but he's certainly not a guy who's talked about as much as he should be, which leads me to this festival that you've got, the Raymond Scott Festival in Los Angeles. What's this about? Yes. What are you going to be doing here?
Well, the motivation for this festival, which is being presented by the family, basically my sister Deb and I, is to bring more attention to Raymond Scott. I mean, there has been certainly a revival of interest in him that started with Erwin Chusett and some other people in the early 90s. And it's been getting bigger over the years, but it's never quite achieved the level that we think he deserves. So in doing this festival, we're trying to sort of present an event that will gather more attention and show a comprehensive picture of his career and everything that he did. So we're selling tickets, and we've booked this space in LA, and it's going to be panels and presentations, but it's also going to be exhibits that are ongoing, that are the kind of things that people can interact with to some extent. Mm. During that day, my son is actually, who's a DJ and one of his many hats that he wears, and he's going to be presenting Raymond Scott music as a DJ. And then at night, there's going to be a concert with two different, well, a bunch of different people, but the main groups are going to be a group called Quartet San Francisco, which has a really unique approach to Raymond Scott music, because they're a string quartet that plays modern music as a string quartet, and Raymond Scott's particularly well suited to that. And the leader of that group is named Jeremy Cohen, and they actually have three Grammy nominations in the crossover category, and some of those albums include a lot of Raymond Scott music. Jeremy plays other things too, but he plays a lot of Raymond Scott. And then the other main act that night is going to be a man named Skip Heller, who's a guitarist who's in my film, who's going to present all kinds of different Raymond Scott music, including his interpretations of some Raymond Scott electronic music.
We know Skip Heller on this
show.
We play his music.
He's a great talent and a fascinating guy. Besides that, I had a sit down with him in LA a while ago where he knows a lot about a lot of things. Really, really interesting guy, Skip.
That's fantastic.
So he loves Raymond Scott. So he's a real Raymond Scott historian. And the show's produced by Jeff Winner, who is kind of part of our core group of Raymond Scott people who has a vast knowledge of Raymond Scott as well, and vast musical knowledge. And he's the concert producer. Deb and I are doing more the daytime, and Jeff produces the nighttime. Obviously, in L.A., there's a lot of animation professionals who are interested in Raymond Scott, and electronic musicians, and all kinds of musicians. So it's a natural for us to do our first version of this festival, which we are planning on making an annual event, to do it in L.A.
That is fabulous. Stan's been fantastic talking to you. Great opportunity to talk about Raymond Scott once again after my very interesting interview with Chusett a few years ago. So great to be able to follow up on this, and kind of nice to see a bit of a development in, you know, from our chat back then to finding out about the documentary and, of course, the festival. So thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
The Cocktail Nation.
www.cocktailnation.net.
Relax and let your cares go by. Relax, throw your troubles sky high. Fill every moment with happiness. And unless I miss my guess, you'll relax and have a lot of fun. Remember that when the day is done, you wear a smile and find that life's worthwhile. Relax, take it easy, relax. Remember that when the day is done, you wear a smile and find that life's worthwhile. Relax, dooby 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 dooby, take it easy. Dooby 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 bow. Relax, take it easy, relax.
Neil Hefti, I've Got Love, also Mal Fletch from the album Malcontent, and the song Relax, sent to me by a good friend of the show, David Gaston. You know, when it comes to retro news, there's only one place to go to, that is the Lounge Life magazine, and it's a free flipboard magazine. Links on the website, cocktailnation.net. I do love the flipboard platform because it literally behaves like a magazine. It's pretty amazing. So check it out today via Flipboard, Lounge Life magazine, and links on the website cocktailnation.net. Turns out Neil Armstrong's spacesuit is wasting away. They're wanting to put it on display next year, so they've got to get to this and hopefully sort out this degradation of the plastic. An electric version of Jaguar's E-Type is set to go into production. Of course, that was famously driven by Prince Harry on his wedding day. It's going to be available to buy when it goes on sale in 2020, which is pretty exciting. I believe what they're going to be doing is refurbishing old E-Type Jags and putting the special electric motors in it, which is pretty amazing. But I'll tell you what, I'd love it if they did maybe some sort of aluminium or fiberglass version officially put out by Jaguar that is electric. That would be amazing. Here's Daniel Pemberton and Moog Nicklace on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you. This is Joey Altruda, and you're about to hear a track from my album, Booze, Babes, and Bongos.
Well, you got the pipes for it.
Hello, darling.
Hi.
Coop.
Nation, Hugo Montenegro and Jungle Beat. Also played Joey Altruder, All the Cats and Daniel Pemberton and Moog Nicholas. That's from the Ocean's 8 soundtrack. Pretty cool soundtrack. Pretty ordinary movie, but good soundtrack.
On the Cocktail Nation, it is Dirk Cooper.
You can write to me anytime via the email thecocktailnation@gmail.com. Send me some audio, I'll play that. Get in touch via the social media pages as well. Cocktail Nation Radio Show is the official Facebook page if you'd like to check that out. From Norman in Canada, who writes, Dear Coop, many thanks for your podcast. I'm frequently on call for urological emergencies at a small city in Alberta, Canada. Listening to the Cocktail Nation on vintage receiver and speakers in my small office provides a welcome respite from the pressures and worries of the job and reminds me of simpler times of my youth. Please keep up the good work. All the best, Norman. P.S. I bought your new fiction book and I plan to read it on my weekend of call. Of course, he's talking about Licato Prince, Accidental Assassin there. Thank you so much for your message, Norman. Did mention a little while ago, I'm working on book number 2 of Licato Prince's activities. So more on that soon. Here's Mancini, Shot in the Dark on the Cocktail Nation.
Nation. We'll be right back.
Central Sydney.
We are just so thankful for this station because I just love it.
The Cocktail Nation.
You know, we have songs we like, we know it's good.
Coop Cooper on The Cocktail Nation.
Clouseau and Lost Lagoon. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. Website cocktailnation.net. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter as well, with our handle being Cocktail Nation. Last week, we spoke to Jason Whiten from spyvibe.com, as he does each month, talking spy TV and movie with us. Well, it turns out he's got a lot of other interests. He's written a book called Talking Mort Walker, A Life in Comic. Now, besides syndicating 9 comic strips, including Beetle Bailey, devoted his life to creating, collecting, curating, and chatting about his one true love, the funnies. Talking Mort Walker, A Life in Comics, takes readers on a journey for the very first time through Walker's career from 35 to 2018, where over 400 pages of rare interviews, articles, letters, and unpublished photographs and drawings reveal insights into the child prodigy who grew up to be the dean of American cartooning. The book is out now, Talking Mort Walker, A Life in Comic by Jason Whiten. Let's take a look at the world of swank, the pastime album clocks.com. September 16 at the Brisbane Jazz Club. It's out of Abingdon. October 1, the Factory Theatre here in Sydney. It's got the Tiki Safari on. October 9 at Savannah Jazz. It's Octobop and Tiki Day coming up September the 30th at Disneyland. I've got all those gigs and a whole lot more up on the website cocktailnation.net, so check it out today. Here's Voodoo Organist, Desert Dream Scene on the Cocktail Nation. And Lust, the award-winning film Sinatra in Palm Springs, is now available as a rental powered by Vimeo On Demand. You can rent this film for around $8, watch it on Apple TV or Chromecast or any iOS or Android device. If you'd like to check out SinatraPalmSprings.com, you can find out a little bit more about this rather interesting movie, all about the time that Frank Sinatra spent in Palm Springs, one of his favourite places. And to celebrate this, next week we are bringing you a special on Frank Sinatra in Palm Springs. A special Coctonation show coming your way next week. I'm going to leave you with Frank Sinatra, of course, and Call Me. Stay hip.
If you're feeling sad and lonely, there's a service I can render. Tell the one who loves you only, I can be so warm and tender. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Tell me and I'll be around. Seems your friends desert you, there's somebody thinking of you. I'm the one who'll never hurt you. Maybe that's because I love you. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Tell me and I'll be around. Now don't forget me, because if you let me, I will always stay by you. You gotta trust me, that's how it must be. There's so much that I can do. If you call, I'll be right with you. You and I should be together. Take this love I long to give you. I'll be at your side forever. Call me, don't be afraid. You can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Tell me and I'll be around. Call me, don't be afraid.